We've been talking about Christ for the last month or so, and resurrection, and all that we got with Christ when he died on the cross. And one of the main things that we got was the Holy Spirit that dwells in us as believers. And the Bible talks about it being a comfort to us, being giving us understanding of the truth. Well, do we ever need that today, the truth? What is the truth today? There, in the world, I don't know. It's all the stuff on the media, and it's, you just don't know. They slant the news the way they want it slanted to their agendas. Everything seems to be slanted today in somebody's agenda. Even when you talk to people, if, depending on what you're talking about, they believe what they think is right is right. But we know that one truth is God's Word. We know that is the truth. And we'll talk about the Holy Spirit here a little bit. Let me read a couple of verses in John 14:26. It says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So that's Christ talking to the disciples, talking about that the Holy Spirit was coming. And then in John 15:26, it says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of the truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." So we know that the Holy Spirit is testifying of Christ, of God. In 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" So God's Word says that the Holy Spirit dwells in us believers. We are believers, and we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. So God has been so gracious with us. As flesh that we live in, it'd be hard for us to live a holy life, even attempting to get close to being holy in God's eyes. We're not. Without his salvation, without the Holy Spirit, we can't achieve anything. And of course, God doesn't look at our achievements. He looks at what Christ did. But for us to try to strive to be Christ-like, we have to have the Holy Spirit's help and understanding, God's Word and Holy Ghost discernment in the world today that we live in. Okay, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started with this lesson. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for Christ and what he did on the cross. We thank you for that resurrection that we've celebrated here recently. Lord, we just pray and thank you for the Holy Spirit that came down and dwells within us, gives us understanding. It helps us to be sanctified in your sight. And it's all because of what you did on the cross. This is part of the Trinity. You are not a it. You are part of God as much as the Son is the part of God. Lord, help us to get that understanding today deep in our souls that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us that helps us through life. We pray for our church today. Pray that we'll have a good service, good music service that blesses hearts. Bless the pastor as he speaks today. Have the Holy Spirit dwell richly on him. And the discernment of the word that maybe someone will be saved today. Lord, we thank you again for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. First Corinthians 6:11 says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God." We're washed, we're sanctified, we're justified in the name of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. He does so much for us. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's a person. He's not an it, like I just said. He's not a force or some influence, that some mystic power or energy. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of the Godhead. He is just as real as a person as God the Father, God the Son. He is a real person, and he dwells within us. God made it that way. He allowed the Holy Spirit to come and go in the Old Testament. Some of the Old Testament prophets and things that happened in the Old Testament, some of all the characters that we know, he allowed them to use them, and they would come and go. Well, after the cross, we're in a different dispensation. Dispensation is just another word that says it's a period of time, God dealing with mankind. In each one of these periods of time, the nation of Israel, Old Testament, New Testament, as we go toward the future, we're in the church age, age of grace. That is a dispensation that we live. And that started at the cross, after Christ died on the cross. He rose again. He's sitting at the right hand of God. The Holy Spirit came down to dwell in believers. So you have that today. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have that Holy Spirit dwelling within you, and he wants to help you. Now, we can see verses that tells us that we can quench the Holy Spirit. We can squash him down, because our flesh becomes something that we have to fight daily. Paul talks about dying daily to the flesh and let the Holy Spirit dwell richly in some of the things. We've been reading in the Bible about David and Samuel, and when David was on the run, and it says that that the people chose Saul, and the Spirit came on him, and he was a good guy. They said he was head and shoulders above most people, from a good family, a good man. And when Samuel anointed him, the Holy Spirit came down on him and dwelt on him. Well, then he messed up and decided he could worship God in any time he wanted to, or where he wanted to, or how he wanted to. So God told Samuel that he was going to remove the Spirit from him, and there was another one in the area that he was going to put the Spirit on. Of course, he told him to go find David. He found David, and the Holy Spirit came down on him at that point. And you can look at all the situations of David's life. A great example, Debbie and I have been reading this together, of how the Holy Spirit guided David through all the snares and the confusion of that time. And David had the Holy Spirit dwelling on him because he was God's chosen man to be the king of the nation of Israel at that time. And that's just another example how God would choose. You know, and had Samuel there, and with being the prophet at that time, and how the Holy Spirit helped David discern things. He would pray and ask God, just as we can pray and ask God, "God, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to get away from this army that's..." that's ever after me. We don't have any food. We can't find food. We can't find shelter. We're running from this forest to this cave and to this area to that area. And David would stop and pray and ask God, say, God, I need your knowledge. Am I supposed to go down and fight these Philistines? Am I going to go over here in this cave? And am I supposed to kill the king? And of course, God would answer him, and the Holy Spirit helped all that situation with David. He had it on him. He had it in him, giving him discernment that, no, you're not supposed to kill the king. So some of his army buddies that were following along said, you ought to kill him. You ought to just get rid of the problem right now. And of course, David felt like that was not the right thing to do. He'd been running ahead of God. And through the influence of the Holy Spirit in his life, he made that choice to sneak in that cave and cut off part of his cape and stand outside the next day and show him that he had the opportunity, trying to make peace with this man. Well, there was no peace to be made because God had already removed the Holy Spirit from him. And the Bible says it allowed another evil spirit to come on him. He would get so upset and so jealous, sitting at the dinner table. He picked up a spear and threw it at him and stuck it in the wall while he was sitting there at the dinner table. That's what happens when today we can have that Holy Spirit dwelling richly within us, and we have it. It's in us. If you're saved, you've got it. But I'm telling you, in a heartbeat, we can go sideways and squash the Holy Spirit, and we can pick up a spear and be ready to throw it at something or somebody. And we really have to guard that with the help of God. And we pray to Christ and pray to God and say, help me be the Christian, be the person that you want me to be. And the Holy Spirit picks up that request inside of us and changes our heart and our mind of how we're going to deal with the circumstances. Now, folks, you know that we have all kinds of circumstances that we have to live in today. We have financial circumstances, health circumstances, family circumstances, and on and on and on. Same things that David was being chased by Saul and trying to survive. And here we are today in this world that we live in, and everybody says, oh, it's just bad times, it's awful. Well, it's been that way since David. The prince and the power of the air roams freely here on this earth, in this atmosphere that we live in. That's his realm right now. And he wants to take you and squash the Holy Spirit. He knows he can't get you unsaved. You can't be unsaved. But you can be messed up to the point that you're no count for God. And you're not any influence on anybody in your life. So David's a great example of that. He speaks to us. He speaks to us loudly. In Acts 13:2, it says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called thee. So we can see that time where they were trying to figure out what mission field to go to, whether we're going to go here, who we're going to take, and all that kind of thing. And they prayed for God to help them figure all that out. Well, they departed each other. We know the story, and they separated me from Barnabas. And a lot of people thought there was contention then, but that was all directed with God. God knew what he was doing. He was taking the gospel to the Gentile world so you and I could have the Lord and all that was going on there. See, that's kind of like we can't see past the minute. God does not give us the ability that he has to see the future tomorrow, the next minute, the next hour, the next year. He can see forward forever. We can't. He designed us that way. He wants us to rely on him. And relying on him, we rely on the Holy Spirit to help us figure out what next step we're going to make here. Whatever it may be, these guys were trying to figure out what missionary work they were going to go do together. And in Romans 8:26, it says, he intercedes. Likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, we've heard this before. We can get to a point in our lives, we don't even know how to pray. Been there. But the Spirit itself make intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we have the Holy Spirit praying for us. Well, I'm glad he prays for me and Debbie, us together. 2 years ago, we had no idea that we were going to be dealing with cancer in Debbie's life. We've prayed to the point sometimes we don't know what to pray. But the Holy Spirit, we know, the Bible says, that he intercedes for us. And he prays for us, as well as everybody else here praying for us, for Debbie. But to know that God knows, that the Holy Spirit knows, that we've prayed to where we don't know what else to pray, that he'll step in and take care of that business for us. He testifies in John 15:26, it says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, when the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He testifies of Christ and what Christ has done, what Christ is doing in our lives, what Christ is doing in our church. What he testifies through his word. He gives us understanding and discernment of the Bible and how when we read and we can't figure out what is that saying, you know, he gives us understanding to go look it up or whatever and get the answer to it or call somebody that may know. If we're really seeking knowledge, he'll help us with that. He testifies of the Lord. He commands in Acts 16:6-7, now when they had gone throughout, I can't read that word, some region in Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So we see him here that the Holy Spirit stopped them from going on into Asia. You know, Paul wanted to go all the way back to Spain and England, and he never got there. And we see right here they're wanting to go to Asia. And the Holy Spirit was suffering them not to go there. He was giving them unction not to do that. An easy one for me to tell you is that happened to me. You know, most of us have experiences, our own testimony. And that's a good thing. Testimonies is what we have, and nobody can change it. Nobody can take that. And everybody here has one. We'll talk about that later. So when I decided to leave West Virginia and come down here in 99, we didn't know Buffalo Ridge was even here. Come from a little church, little town in the coal fields. And I asked God to lead and guide. I really prayed hard about should we leave our hometown that we all grew up in and knew everybody in and been in the church there for 20-some years, serving in, raised our youngins in it. And God made that clear to me through God's word and opened my understanding through the Holy Spirit. He gave me direction just as he gave these these guys' direction in the New Testament not to go to Asia. We need to go this direction. He gave me direction that I could come to Buffalo Ridge, or I could come to East Tennessee. I didn't know. I had no idea what was. I knew I liked the area because my parents lived over in Boone, North Carolina, and we came through here a lot. I didn't know that we were going to get connected to this church, and we did. And God guided us here. God had all that planned through the Holy Spirit, directing and moving all the parts of my life. And, you know, my kids, Levi found a girl here in this church to marry. Now they're missionaries in England and doing really, really well. You know, and all my kids came this way. Wes was still in dental school. He ended up in Knoxville at UT for a year. And then Katie and Shannon, you know, they're here. He ended up at Ballot Health and doing well there. And Katie ended up teaching. And just God put all of that together. And there's no way in the world I could have figured all that out and wrote that down and said, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this. No. Debbie and I lifted up to God to direct us in which path we were going to take and how we were going to take it. And then we got grounded here in this church under Pastor Lashley, and then started teaching the faith class, which a lot of you in here are from that class. And we got welcomed into this church community. And within a year and a half, we felt like this was home. And it was nothing but the Holy Spirit moving on people in that class that befriended us, on our pastor, Lashley at that time, that befriended us. So you see, that's important, folks, to let the Holy Spirit guide you. There's a list in the bulletin today about new members. And I was reading through there. I don't know that I know half those people. And they've been here, some of them, for a year. It's a list for the past year, new members. Folks, we need to let the Holy Spirit guide us and meet them people and talk to them and get to know them and befriend them, because that's really what got Debbie and I and our family, is the Sunday school program with that faith class and Pastor Lashley and others befriending us, visiting us, and we got brought into the family. We're in. Are you in? Well, of course you are. You're here this morning. We want other people in on this good thing. I want all we can get. We want to pack this place out every Sunday with people wanting to get in on what we have here. And the Holy Spirit is dwelling richly on this church. It has for many years. It's going to continue to dwell on it. And we don't want to squash that Holy Spirit in any way. And we can. I'll never forget the preacher talking. Preached one early on. Preacher Lashley spoke on tares in the church. I don't want to be a tare in the church. I think I've got that message copied somewhere, preacher. Tares in the church. How that can make a church stumble because somebody not listening to the Holy Spirit, or somebody not even having the Holy Spirit and all that He does for us. So He commands us. He appoints us. Appoints us to tasks to do. It says, take heed therefore unto yourself and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you oversee. You see, that commandment there is talking to a preacher, but it's talking to us too. To feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Feed Him with the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. And the Holy Spirit gives understanding to the Word. That's what it's talking about. I've mentioned this a few times. All we have to do is give somebody the Word. And the Holy Spirit will take it and run with it. We don't have to straighten them up. We don't have to make them dress right or look right or smell right or do the right things. The Holy Spirit will take that and work it out. We don't have to do that. Now, as moms and dads and grandparents, sometimes we feel privileged like we can tell even our we still do tell our youngest from time to time. We'll never stop being mom and dad. But we don't want to let that privilege spill out on others that's not in our family and hurt somebody's feelings. We want to let the Holy Spirit take care of that, folks. Do you trust the Holy Spirit to take care of those kind of things? We have to. We have to trust Him to where He's going to take care of those. He guides. He guides us. The Holy Spirit, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Spirit of truth, He will guide you unto the truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. And, you know, He's not going to show you way out in the future, but He will show you how you need to deal with a problem. Just as He showed David where he needed to go and hide or do what he did to do in 1 Samuel. Or in the New Testament, showed the disciples and Paul and where and John and all those guys where to go and what to do and how to get there. And He teaches. But the Comforter, which in John 14:26 it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost from the Father, will I send in My name, and He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." He's a teacher. The Holy Spirit teaches us and gives us understanding. I am no teacher. And I've told you that before. God just uses me to talk. And I have to pray every day, every time I do this. I said, God used me and helped me to say what I need to say. And I say things, I can go back and look at myself and I think I'm terrible now that we're recording it. But I say things that wasn't even planned on saying. Went down, and that's nothing but the Holy Spirit taking control and helping us. Someone here needed to hear that. And that's the way the preacher is. He's guided by the Holy Spirit. It's just you have to let the Holy Spirit do all that. He teaches. And if we let Him use us, He performs miracles. In Acts 8:39, it says, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. And when he was his way rejoicing." People get saved. Miracles happen. He allows people that we think could never get saved get a hold of a piece of a track or read something in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit will open their heart and their eyes to that and teaches them that they need to trust Christ as their Savior. That's a miracle, folks. It's a miracle. He searches. In 1 Corinthians 2:10 it says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." Folks, He gives us understanding of the deep things. You know, you start digging. And I've been reading Daniel over and over again with revelations. And it gives you great understanding if you really just slow down and think about it and read on it and muse on it and study it and let the Holy Spirit open your mind to what God is really saying and understand what God is going to do in the future. In the next dispensation, a lot of things are going to happen. And we're so close to that. I believe we're at the 11th hour, the 59th minute, in the last few seconds of this dispensation that we're living in right now. God could show up in the clouds today and receive us all up in a twinkling of an eye. And things after that, the world is going to change in a terrible direction for the next 7 years. And then after that, the 1,000-year reign, millennial reign. And there's so many details in all that. All the things that God's going to allow these angels to do and all that. And I don't understand very little of it. But I can read the Word and take books and ask God to give me understanding of that. And it helps. But you gotta make an effort and let the Holy Spirit help you with that. You can't do it on your own. Then, in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, He may be grieved. In Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, but I can look back at my life, and I have done that. We live in the flesh, folks. And we can grieve the Holy Spirit. It's who we are. But God loves us anyway. Now, how is that possible? Because we caused His Son to go to the cross and die for us. That's God. That's God's love. And then on top of that, because He loved us, He gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. Just as much salvation is a gift. We didn't earn it by doing anything. We don't earn it to keep it. God gave us. It says there He sealed us with it. Sealed until the day of redemption. Until we are raptured to heaven, we are sealed. And that's part of the Holy Spirit's work. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're sealed. And the devil can't unseal us. And he says, and it also says in Isaiah 63:10, we can vex the Holy Spirit. But they rebelled and vexed the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to their enemy and he fought against them. So we see that they rebelled. I rebelled. You rebelled. Mankind rebelled because Christ died for mankind all over the world, no matter. And that's another thing. You can go on mission trips, plumb on the other side of the earth, be up in the middle of nowhere under some little old tree or stand in some neighborhood in some little church that some missionary or some local has started and have a handful of believers praising the Lord, and you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. And He's everywhere all the time. Ever present, just like God. Felt that, been there and seen that. Understand that is a real thing. So we can rebel and drive that spirit away. Not away, He doesn't leave us. It just allows Him not to work in our lives. And He can be tested. He may be tested. Then Peter said to her, "How is it that ye have agreed upon the tempt, agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Well, we know the story. These folks said they were going to do something, going to give their money, give their house, and withheld, made a vow to the preacher, and they got in trouble with the Holy Spirit. And they resisted what they should have done. How many times have I done that? I've resisted what I should have done. I try not to do that. And that basically is talking about some giving. I tell you what now, we have a lot of these young men and young missionaries come in and out these doors here. And they don't just happen to come up here. Don't just happen to be on this platform. God has directed them to be here, folks. You have an opportunity and God gives you an unction to give them boys a $20 bill or whatever. If you have that thought, the Holy Spirit put it there. You better act on it. Because if you don't, he'll get you $20 one way or the other. You may get a sour hamburger. But, and that's kind of what went on at that point. That those people would not listen. They made a promise and they had it in their heart. The Holy Spirit probably pricked their heart and soul to say that, but then they didn't follow up with it. When you get that unction and you know that, and that's not, I know some of us may not have it at the time, and that's okay. God knows that. But if it's in your heart and when you do get it and it's the time and the time is right, it's between you and God. It's between you and the Holy Spirit. Nobody needs to know. But that is the Holy Spirit working on your hide, giving you those thoughts. And that young man or young lady or whoever it may be, praise the Lord for our mission program and the monies that we have in our mission program. So many people give to mission work in this church, and it allows us to do things as a deacon board. And with the pastor, and we sit in there and talk about it and pray about it and muse over it and try to get, and so many times somebody will say, well, I think I'll just speak up and I think, well, it needs to be this much. And somebody will turn around and say, well, I was thinking the same thing. I mean, that's happened so many times, hasn't it, Joe? You know, that's nothing but the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, we pray about it and then we do it. And we give that money to that missionary for some need that we had no idea they needed. But we got a letter and said they needed to buy some tin for a roof, or they needed to buy some cinder blocks, or they just needed to make a payment on a medical bill or whatever it may be. That come our way on a piece of paper into our deacon meeting, and we had the funds on the book because everybody in this church gives to the mission fund, and the Holy Spirit used all those circumstances to get that missionary on the field with that need back to Buffalo Ridge, touched our hearts because we were seeking direction. And we was able to give that money to help that missionary. Now, we all got part of that. That's the Holy Spirit. He can do amazing things, if we'll let him. We don't, in this case, this lady did not. They both died because of the situation. They made a promise that didn't follow through with it. Of course, that was in the New Testament times. Things were different then. But what's different about that? Think about this. Why am I sitting here talking about that right now? Why is the Holy Spirit letting me say those things right now? because it happened some 2,000 years ago. It got written in God's Word, and the Holy Spirit emphasized it today, and we heard it today. Did somebody need to hear that today? I mean, you can't question the Holy Spirit how He puts all this together. See how it's working even right now. In that one little old verse, we talked about so much stuff, the mission board and all this, and giving to some young man or young lady that's here or whatever. I mean, you cannot outgive God. Can't do it. Can't outgive Him. Can't do it. So the Holy Spirit should be to us exactly what Christ was to His disciples. Think about that. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit should be to us exactly what Christ was to the disciples. Now, is He? Think about that. Now, the only thing is, we can't see Him or touch Him, which the disciples could do that. But we sure can feel Him, because He has Him dwelling within us. So is He as important to us today as Christ was to those guys? Now, of course, those guys didn't fully understand everything until the last there, when the Holy Spirit, when He came back and they had dinner and the Holy Spirit came on them all and they went out and preached, and the world was in the community at the time, and trade, and people heard it in their own language, and thousands of people got saved because of the Holy Spirit coming down at that time and dwelling richly in those disciples at that time. Lord, we have that power within us to call upon. I don't think we use 1/10 of that power that's available for us to use. If we used it wholly, fully, it's no telling what we could do with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the power of God. This is Christ speaking here. Christ is speaking in this verse that says the Holy Spirit is another comforter. It says, I've been here comforting you and teaching you, giving you understanding of the New Testament church to get started. And now we have another comforter, the Holy Spirit. The attribute of the Holy Spirit which is revealed is deity. He is part of God. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. The angel in Luke 1:35, and the angel answered unto him and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Wow, can you imagine what Mary thought at that point? He's omnipotent, all powerful. He's omniscient. He's all present. He's eternal. He's holy. He's all goodness. He is life that dwells within us. The part of God that He has given us Him. Folks, we need to wake up every day and realize that He is called God. He is called the Spirit of God. He is called the Spirit of the living God. He is called the Spirit of Christ. and we have him dwelling within us. Praise the Lord for what he has done for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love, and thank you for that Holy Spirit that dwells richly in us. Lord, help us every day to lean on you. Help us to lean on the Holy Spirit. Give us strength through that. Answer our prayers through that. Lord, help each one of us to look to you for the strength that we need to live as Christians in this world through the Holy Spirit's strength. Lord, we praise your name. Give us a good morning in church. In Jesus' name, amen.